morning, we're going to ask the question, what is Easter all about? What is Easter all about? Last year, there was a nationwide survey conducted. And the three things you've collected, the Easter bunny, the hot cross buns, and the Easter eggs, all appeared in the top five things that the population of the country thought Easter was about. Here are the other two things. People thought it was a bank holiday. We get Friday and Monday off, hooray. But they also thought it was about Jesus' resurrection. Now let's look at the percentages. 49% of people thought it was about the Easter bunny. 67% thought it was about a bank holiday. 62% thought it was about hot cross buns. And 76% thought it was about chocolate eggs. Guess what you've got to do? You've got to guess what was the percentage for Jesus. How many percent thought Easter was about Jesus? There's a hand behind me. What was your hand? No? Any offers? What percentage do you think it was? Yes, what do you think? 50. I've got 50 over here. Who wants to go higher than 50? Who wants to go lower than 50? In fact, you're all far too pessimistic. It was 55%. But it's not quite as simple as that. That was the total response to the survey. In the younger generations, the percentage was much lower. So what is Easter really about? We seem quite confused. But if we're confused about Easter today, then it's worth remembering those who were there at the time that first Easter were just as confused. And that's why, first of all, we're going to try to make sense of the empty tomb. If you've got the order of service and you've got the passage on it, have a look at that. We'll be looking at that as we go through. But the first thing I just want to say is to reemphasize what we saw in that video. Jesus was a real historical figure. He really did live. And his crucifixion, as well as his life, is recorded by various non-Christian writers. There's the Roman writer Tacitus. That's what he said. Christus suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of Pontius Pilatus. And then Josephus, a Jewish historian who worked for the Romans, he said, about this time that of Jesus, Pilate condemned him to be crucified. Non-Christian historians, they write about Jesus and his crucifixion. But let's come back. Can you take that down, Jonathan, please? That'll be lovely. Let's come back to the first Easter morning. Mary and the other women go to the tomb, but when they get there, they find the tomb is already open. The stone's been rolled away. They come to anoint Jesus' body with the spices they brought. But not only is there no stone over the tomb, there's no body in the tomb. And they don't know what to make of it. Angels appear to them and explain what's happened. And we pick up the story later in the day. Have a look at verse 37. Verse 37 that says that later in the day, they are startled and frightened. They don't quite get it yet. It's all a bit of a mystery. It's all a bit confusing. In fact, they're so confused that when Jesus appears among them, what do they think? They think he's a ghost. Yes, please. Let's have the ghost up, Jonathan. That'd be good. Thank you very much indeed. Now, I don't know. What do you do when you think you've seen a ghost? Where's my ghost gone? I've got a ghost somewhere. Oh, there's my ghost. Excellent. What can we do? How do we check whether or not this is a ghost? Now, you know, we've seen the films, haven't we? So when you punch a ghost, your hand goes straight through, doesn't it? Yeah? Shall we try? Yeah? Is it going to go straight through? Oh, maybe not a ghost then. What's another test? Well, Jesus gives us another test, doesn't he? What is the test Jesus says? He says, give me something to eat. Here we have a gold McVitie's bar. Can he open the packaging? Can he eat it? That's the question. Yeah, we wanted him to be a ghost, didn't we? Do we accept he's real? Major disappointment. Off you go. Thank you very much indeed. So, who's in front of them? Is it a ghost? No, it's not. Is it the risen Jesus? Yes, it is. But you see, they should have understood that. Have a look at verse 44. Jesus says, these are the words I spoke to you while I was still with you. They should have known that. When Jesus predicted his death, he also predicted that he would rise again from the dead. They hadn't got it. So what does Jesus do? He takes them back to the Old Testament. He uses the Old Testament to explain what's been going on. What he says to them is, look, God has kept his promise. God said in the Old Testament he would send a king to rescue humanity from their wrongdoing and their selfishness. And Jesus is that king. He came to this world, he suffered, he was betrayed, he was tried wrongly, he was then beaten and crucified. And he had to do that, he had to go through that in order to bring about our rescue. And what the resurrection is telling you is that that rescue was successful. That's the message, if you like, of the empty tomb. That explains the empty tomb. So when you do something, when you succeed, somebody tells you, don't they? So when you've taken your driving test, the examiner tells you you've passed at the end of it, hopefully. And the evidence is you get what we call a full driving license. It says you're free to drive. That's the evidence that you've passed your driving test. Let's have the next slide up, Jonathan, please. There we go. Thomas and his friends are being busy as engines. They're doing their work. How do we know they've been successful and done a good job? How do we know that they've achieved what they should do as engines? Well, the fat controller says, you're a really useful engine. So they know. They're told. The evidence is there of their success in the words of the fat controller. Take that down there, John, please. Thank you. Now, it may be that all this Easter morning stuff, all this stuff about a king coming as a rescue and being successful, it may be that's not making very much sense yet. Well, if that's the case, don't worry. If you're in the right age group, then Epic Explorers next week will help you to understand more about these great events and what Jesus did for us. But one of the books that Carrie's mentioned, the Glenn Scrivener book or the Lee Strobel book, will help you just to find out a bit more and answer some of those questions. Making sense of the empty tomb means that we remember that Jesus came into the world as God's King to rescue humanity through his suffering and death on the cross. He was innocent, he was successful, and so he rose from the dead, just as he said he would. So we try to make sense of the empty tomb by thinking about the message it gave us about God's King who was successful in his rescue mission. Now we're going to think about what is the message then of the empty tomb? What happens next? What is the message of the empty tomb? Well, have a look at verses 47 and 48, if you've got the Lord's service to hand. Jesus says, this is what happens next. This is what it's really all been about. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins we preach in his name, that is in Jesus' name, to all nations. Now, repentance is one of those sort of saying sorry, turning away from the bad things, turning to the good things, turning away from Jesus, serving myself and turning to Jesus. And it's necessary. And we've seen on our screens recently, haven't we, examples of people who've had to face up to the fact that their actions have consequences. Now, those consequences haven't been good consequences. And so they've needed to say, I'm sorry. They've needed to say, I got it wrong. They've needed to find forgiveness. Facebook's in all sorts of trouble because of data privacy issues. Initially, of course, they denied everything. It was fine. The lawyers came in. But finally, Mark Zuckerberg had to front up, didn't he? He had to say, we were wrong. I got it wrong. And I'm sorry. £75 billion has wiped off the company's value. Maybe that was what really prompted him to say sorry. Then, of course, there's the former Australian cricket captain, Steve Smith. He said, I made a serious error of judgment, and I now understand the consequences. I'll do everything I can to make up for my mistake and the damage it has caused. He realized that there were consequences from the decision they took to tamper with the cricket ball at that particular moment in that test match in South Africa. There were consequences. That's enough humiliation. Jonathan, take that down. Thank you. Now, very few of us will have to face the sort of public humiliation that Mark Zuckerberg or Steve Smith have had to face. But the consequences will be there for all of us from our actions. So later on today, when you're asked if you'd like to help with the washing up and given a tea towel, you throw it on the floor and storm up to your room and slam your door, there will be consequences, won't there? There always are. That lie you told on your job application form. Yeah, there will be consequences, believe me. You know what happens when you share that photo on social media? There will be consequences. And to each of those things, small though they seem, they're just an expression of our rebellion against God, the way we treat God, ignoring what he said, doing what he's told us not to do. They just show what we're really like. And there will be consequences for you, for your family, and of course, mostly towards God. Now, there's been an interesting discussion in the media the last few days. Does the Pope believe in hell or not? That's the question. Well, I'm glad to say that's pretty irrelevant. I don't really care whether the Pope believes in hell or not. It doesn't matter. What matters is that Jesus did and Jesus taught about it. In fact, if you look in the Gospels, Jesus speaks more about hell than he does about love. And if there are consequences for our wrongdoing, consequences for our selfishness, consequences for our saying no to God, then hell is the ultimate final consequence. Yes, please, Jonathan, let's have that back. And that's why we need the message of the empty tomb. We need to know, just as Mark Zuckerberg and Steve Smith need to know, that there is redemption, that we can be forgiven. Jesus has paid the price for all sin. We can find forgiveness through the death of Jesus. That burden of guilt can be lifted. I want you now just to look around this room. I want you to look around this room at the evidence that God has done what he said he would do. Not just in sending Jesus to be his king and his rescuer, not just in raising Jesus from the dead, but in drawing together a people from all over the world. So put your hand up if you were born or your family comes from the United Kingdom. Hands up if that's you. Hooray! But of course, when Jesus spoke these words, he wasn't in the United Kingdom, was he? This wasn't about us at that point at all, first and foremost. So hands up if you're of Jewish heritage. Hands up if you were born in Israel or your parents, your family comes from Israel. Have you got anyone from with an Israel Jewish background? Maybe not. What about North America? Anyone from North America, the States? Bill, hooray, yeah, we've got a few from there. That's good, isn't it? Isn't God kind and generous? That's amazing. South America? Excellent. Far East? Excellent. Any Australians want to put their hands up? Hooray! You were born in Australia? Oh, interesting. There's redemption even for ball tampering at cricket. Isn't that interesting? So you see, God's kept his promise. Not just to send the rescuer, not just to raise from the dead, but to make sure that people from all over his world get to hear that good news, get to find forgiveness, and get to be part of the family. So the question for you this Easter may well be, have you accepted Jesus' rescue and forgiveness for yourself yet? And if not, why not? Don't leave it too late. And if you have done that, and you know what it is to be forgiven and to be a friend of Jesus, then are you continuing to be committed to helping others to find out? Don't forget that stat we looked at earlier. Less than half of those under 50 think Jesus rose from the dead today. There's work to be done, isn't there? And we're the only ones who can do that work. And as a church, we're committed to making Jesus better known. So let's make sure we carry on with that and do it all the more. The message of the empty tomb then is that Jesus will be preached to and believed on across the world, all nations. So there's no need to be confused about Easter. No need to be confused like the people in the survey. No need to be confused like those who were there that first Easter day. The tomb was empty. And it tells us that Jesus' rescue mission was successful. He defeated death and the tomb could not contain him. And therefore there's every reason to rejoice that this message of friendship with God, forgiveness of sins and new life has gone across our world and continues to do so today. What great good news we have to celebrate this morning.